I encourage you to turn with me, if you will, to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And considering making the most of your time. And I got to be totally honest with you. I ruined my good glasses a few weeks ago. And I got the pair I had two prescriptions ago. And these words are going like this. So my translation may be something you've never heard before. That's not my intention. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, the scripture says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Christians in the church of Ephesus, encouraging them to manifest, continue to develop, and always demonstrate a Christian lifestyle. If you're going to profess something, it's best to possess it first so that you can profess it honestly. And Paul is saying, if indeed you are a part of Christ, if indeed the Lord Jesus lives within you, there is an example that he sets that we're to follow, and we should do our very best in following that. He says again in verse 15, "See that you walk circumspectly." That is a term that means accurately or precisely with great care. In other words, don't just shoot from the hip. But in doing what you do as a Christian, make sure that you do it accurately and make sure that you do it precisely with great care. To live morally is to be wise. That's what he says. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise." Now, when he uses the word fools there, he's not using it in the way that we might imagine. A fool is not necessarily named a fool because of his intelligent or his intellectual limits, but he is considered in the scripture to be a fool because he lives apart from God and he lives against God's law. That's what makes him a fool. Not how smart or how lack of intelligence that he may have, brain power wise. It's the way that he conducts himself. And this individual also can't comprehend the truth, and hence the truth of his condition. And Paul says, be careful. You don't want to walk that way. As a believer, there is a way that you're to conduct yourself. There is a way that you're to live your life. And you need to make sure that your life always demonstrates that you are a walking manifestation of the difference between the person that he describes as a fool. And he's speaking in spiritual terms. The person that he describes as a spiritual fool compared to a person who is spiritually wise. Sound advice that the apostle gives us. Then he goes on and he says, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. I knew it was there somewhere, I just couldn't find the line. In essence, he's saying there that we need to understand that the term time denotes a very specific, fixed, allotted season. Okay? It's a particular structure that he's talking about. And with the article, the definite article, the, he's talking about a even more specific time. Basically, what Paul is describing is your lifetime as a believer. So when he's saying redeem the time because the days are evil, he's saying in your life as a Christian, in the time that you have, in loving God and serving God, make sure that you make the most of that time. Make sure that you're glorifying God and that you're a positive testimony to Him. Time is a gift that God gives to every one of us. I don't know that we necessarily demonstrate that all the time. We live in a day and age when there is a lot of what the world would describe as wasting time. You ever heard someone say, when you ask them, what are you doing? Well, I'm just killing time. I'm just wasting time. Well, when they're saying that, they're in essence saying, I'm throwing my life away. There's things I could be doing, but I'm not doing it. I'm just wasting time. The sadness of that is in the fact that all of us are giving a very specific period of time. None of us is going to get a second more than what God allots us. And He expects us to make wise use of what is given to us. To squander that time is it's a slow suicidal process. We're just throwing our life aside. Paul told the Christians at Ephesus to walk wisely in this evil world. To do so, they needed to make the most of their time or to redeem the time. So how can we invest our time wisely and make the most of it? Simple things just to keep in mind. First of all, we need to do the right things. As Christians, we need to prioritize. We need to analyze our time. We need to utilize our time. And we need to maximize our time. We need to prioritize. We understand, at least I hope we've come to this understanding. It takes some of us longer to get there than others. But we need to understand that we can't do everything we want to do. And on top of that, we certainly cannot do everything others want us to do. God understands that. God wants us to develop and mature to the point where we do the things that are the best things. And what are the best things? The best things are the things that He wants us to do. Well, how do we find those? How do we determine what those best things really are? And how do we go about putting them into place? The main thing we need to keep in mind in approaching anything that we're going to get involved in, deciding whether it's a wise use of our time or not, we need to bear in mind that the main thing that we're to do is to love God supremely. To love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our body. And then he said the next thing you're supposed to do is to love others, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, again, there needs to be a delicate balance. You need to be careful that you understand, even when God says that we're to love others as we love ourselves, we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we can't do everything our neighbors want us to do. So we need to be able to distinguish between those things that are asked of us and those things that God would honor us in doing. First, we set out to make sure that in everything we do, we're pleasing God. We're honoring Him supremely. Now, you don't have to be a spiritual giant to begin to understand that. If you find yourself confronted with a dilemma, three things that are confronting you, that are demanding your time. Maybe the church has asked this expectation. Maybe a fellow Christian has asked this expectation. But you find yourself confronted with two or three different things at a time. And many times we consent to doing all three. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can. I don't know how many times I've told Joyce, I don't know what I was thinking. They asked me and I said, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. No, I can't. I can't do that. So what happens? You end up doing a shoddy job at all three of them instead of determining what it is that God would have you to do and give your most and best attention to that one thing. And in making that determination, make sure that what you're doing is honoring Almighty God. He knows what's best for you. He knows what He wants from you. Our function is to determine His will and to find ourselves always within the midst of that will. Then when we are able to prioritize those things, looking into the face of God Himself, we'll be able to prioritize better when others make requests of us. Someone would say, would you do this for the church? And I might say, no, Chris would do a much better job. And there's nothing wrong with being honest. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't possibly have the ability or the time to do that. You know what we as a church, we as Christian people are most guilty of in serving the Lord? Is we always go to the same small group of people for everything that needs to be done. You have a church that could be full of 100 people, and statistics show not only in churches but in all areas of life, 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work, and 80% of the people are going to do 20% of the work. So what we do is we key in on that 20% that we know they're going to say yes. So when the situation arises, we go to that group of people. We know you're doing this, that, the other. We know that you're involved in this program, that program, the other program. But can you just fit this into your schedule? And in being honest with God, being honest with self, and being honest with brothers and sisters in Christ, there is an appropriate time to say no. I cannot possibly do that. Now, saying that, I didn't just give you license when the nominating committee approaches you to say, nope, can't do that. Preacher said I don't have to. Again, you need to check with God. You need to determine what God would have you to do. It may be that God is saying, this is exactly what I want you to do. Now, to accomplish that, you're going to have to let go of a few things that you're doing now that I really don't want you involved in. You see, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, we're going to receive the rewards we are going to get because of the things we've done in our service of God. Only those things that count to glorifying the Lord are the things that we're going to be rewarded for. So you may have taught a boys' Sunday school class for 20 years. Because the church just kept asking you. And for 20 years they said, will you just stay in here till we find someone? And it's taken 20 years and they still haven't found someone. And all along God may have been saying, you know what I really need you to do? I need you to serve as a deacon. I need you to serve as a mission director. I need you to do this, that, or the other. But Lord, I don't have time. I've got to prepare for this Sunday school class. They're going to stand before God someday expecting this great reward for those 20 years spent teaching those boys in Sunday school. And the scripture says that's going to be burnt away like wood, hay, and stubble. Because that wasn't the thing that God gave you to do. Had you set that aside and taken that thing that God laid on your heart to do, for that you would have received a reward. So we need to determine to do the right things. But it doesn't stop there. Secondly, we need to do the right things the right way. As Christians, we should do our very best in everything that we do. We hear of police forces and military being referred to as America's best. And I understand that. We understand where that comes from, where it emanates from, and to a great degree, justifiably so. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be the earth's best. We need to be the best example of living a godly life before a lost and dying world. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to get you a whole lot of kudos. It's not going to be something that they're going to pat you on the back and say thank you for being who you are. I've been a Christian and I've been a pastor, a preacher, for 43 years. In all honesty, I can tell you I've never had anyone pat me on the shoulder and say, thank you for your service. Now, you'll see a person in uniform. I'm not minimizing this by any stretch of the imagination. You'll see a person in uniform you've never seen before, never spoke to before, and in passing you'll say, and justifiably so, "We appreciate your service." My point is, the world ought to look upon us and make that same connection. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service to God, because our service to God always spills over into service to people. And when we do that, we need to make sure that we're doing the best things in the best way that we possibly can. God deserves that. Other people deserve that. We're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, that we're to do, we must do anything that God gives us to do with all our might. Now, that causes me to pause and do some reflection. When I prepare a sermon, did I do that with all my might? Did I give it all the time that needed to be given to it? Did I do all the research I should have done? Did I do all the reading I should have done? Or did I just seek to scratch the surface, use a number of catchy little phrases that appease the ears of people? Anything that we do, we need to make sure that we do it the right way, and the right way is to do it the best that we possibly can. Service for Jesus demands our most excellent efforts. Now, that's not a one-time thing. You don't get something in mind. They've asked me to do a job. I'm going to give this job my very, very, very best, and then I'm done. I'll be happy because I've done my best for God. It's not just in one thing at one time. It's in everything that we do, even things that aren't related to your spiritual life. I'll get personal and use myself as an illustration. If you've just been cut off in traffic, are you demonstrating your very best in your reaction to the person that cut you off? Nah. I wished you could see some of the looks I've gotten from my wife because of my behavior. And you know in your mind that that person, in all likelihood, did not do that on purpose. They didn't set out at that moment to say, "I think I'll cut in front of this guy, make him slam on his brakes just to make his day." It was an accident. It was a mistake. And rather than thanking and glorifying God that you were able to catch that he had his hand upon you and any kind of catastrophe was diverted, we choose to get upset. You know, my favorite line used to be, after I realized that no one is going to be hurt, I'll swing out, pull up beside, because I want to see what one of these look like. Somebody that would do something that stupid, I want to see what they look like. What's that prove? That proves I'm not demonstrating that I'm doing the best I can do in my life in serving God. Well, God understands. You're absolutely right. He understands. His eyes are everywhere. He not only sees everything, he knows everything. He knows our motivation. So we need to do the right things. We need to do the right things the right way. But it doesn't end there either. We need to do the right things the right way for the right reasons. We must do all that we do for one simple reason. and that is to glorify the Lord Jesus. We're saved. Jesus saved us to glorify Himself. The purpose of our salvation is not all for our benefit. We're the great benefactors of it, obviously. But the purpose of our salvation, from God's perspective, is that He and His Son be glorified. Do the right thing the right way for the right reason. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we no longer belong to ourselves. We've turned the reins of our lives over to Him. He has redeemed us. He has purchased us with His blood. Life is from Him, life is through Him, and life is to Him, and we must live for His glory. Why do you do the things you do? I'll be the first to admit, I've done a lot of things over my lifetime simply because it took me a long, long time to learn to say no. Don't want to disappoint people. Don't want people to think I'm a slacker. Don't want people to think I can't do it. That's the wrong reason for doing anything. The right reason for doing anything you do in God's service is that in and through your life, the light shines on Him. He's being honored and glorified by what you do. Having said all of that, the reality is that many people are wasting their lives on frivolous temporal matters. Things that aren't going to count at all when you stand before Christ one day and give an account of yourself. They're literally throwing their lives away. Don't be one of them. Don't be someone content to just throw your life away. Invest your life in God's kingdom. The songwriter, Squire Parsons, wrote, "Harvest will soon be past. We'll no longer gather. Only what's done for Christ is all that will matter." And that's true of each and every one of us. We can do tons and tons and tons of good things. God wants us to do the best things, the right way, for the right reasons. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You, Father, for Your love and Your mercy. I thank You that You have such a high standard for us. And yet, having said that, I'm aware of the difficulty that we have sometimes in living up to that standard. So we call upon Your name to help us. Strengthen us. Give us the wisdom we need to fulfill this, what we've read this evening concerning walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, so that in the time that we have on this earth and the opportunities that we have to love God and to serve God, that we may faithfully do those things. Father, be honored and glorified in our lives and all that we say and do. And we'll thank You for that as we stand before You one day. As we come to the close of this service, we're about to move into a time of a monthly business meeting. There are some things that need our attention. Some of those things are pretty pressing and important. And I pray that You'll give us each a heart to understand and to realize our responsibilities and make decisions based on the things that we've just talked about tonight, that we're doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason. And we'll thank You for hearing our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.